Well, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 13. We already started talking about that this morning. And what was it you were talking about, Linda? You're the one that brought it up, about the tares, right?
Yeah, the tares.
The tares.
Right. He lit at the time of the harvest.
There's a fullness of everything. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's a fullness of righteousness, and there's a fullness of iniquity as well. And for many years, I did not understand the necessity for iniquity to come to the fullness. I thought, well, Lord, just cut it off. I mean, why wait until it? I mean, if it's rotten, it's rotten. Why wait for it to become totally rotten? But God's ways are not my ways, and I don't know. He's, you know, God is even fair with Satan. Did you know that? He gives him his full shot. I mean, if Satan thinks that he can defeat God, God is going to give him his full opportunity to try to do it and prove that he can't do it. I mean, it has to be proven once and for all, forever, world without end, eternity, that darkness cannot and will not prevail in this world. Amen. And that God is totally, completely, 100% righteous, and righteousness is always greater. Amen. So, here's a verse that I wanted to bring up here, Linda, in regard to that. It's Matthew 13, verse... let's go back to 27. It says, "So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" Okay, how did the tares get there? In other words, the wickedness did not come from God. All right, he sowed only good. Where did the tares come from? "And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this." So an enemy came in and really messed things up. "The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" In other words, now this by the way, does not work in my garden, okay? I cannot leave the tares there because I will not get a crop, period. I mean, the corn just... when it's young, the corn just gets overwhelmed. These weeds grow so fast that they completely overshadow. Now, once the corn gets this high, the weeds don't matter. They can't do anything. So, but it doesn't work in the natural. But in the spiritual, God is saying to his servants, don't go in and try to uproot all the wickedness. All right? Now, consider that. This isn't what I was going to talk about. I'm still going to something different. In your life circumstances, even in your extended family, shall we say, all right, you know that there are tares growing, okay, and you know that there is good wheat growing as well. In our society, there are tares and there is wheat, and the problem is, we would say, well, let's just go and uproot it all. Let's go and pull out everything that's wicked. We're going to have a Christian government. We're going to have Christian this, Christian that, Christian everything else. And let's just go get all the wicked arrested, everything else. But the problem is, the root system is so intertwined that if you start pulling here and pulling there, you're going to upset the wheat. Now, God knows that. I don't know that. I wouldn't do it that way. But God knows that. He knows how the roots are intertwined. And if he starts pulling, if he allows us to start pulling, we're going to upset some wheat, some good wheat. And, you know, even in the garden, I've noticed that I have done that too. The roots get into an area where, and I say, well, I'm just going to pull this weed, but I'm going to save this bean thing, you know. And I pull, and the first thing you know, my bean thing is uprooted. And I say, well, I'm going to put it back, you know, tamp it down. and it doesn't thrive. And a week later, it's dead. And I say, oh, I was too rough on it. I was too anxious to get rid of the weeds. Now, let's listen to the whole society here. He says, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Okay? Now, let both grow together until the harvest. See, the harvest is the fullness. The harvest is where everything comes to the fullness. The righteousness comes to fullness. Iniquity comes to fullness. I have been convinced, totally convinced, for the last 35 years or 40 or more, that we were already at that place. And now as I look back, I say, but we weren't at that place. I remember reading the book. How many of you remember reading this book? What was her name? Mary Stuart Ralph, R-E-L-P-H. Remember? Do you remember that book, Larry? Where she was telling in this book, I don't know if that woman's still alive or not.
Yeah, she sends. I get her letter every month.
We used to get a little letter from her. You must have sent a little offering to her or something. You keep getting it. She was kind of a prophetess in that day. You know, it was sort of limited. That's the only thing that she seemed to have a prophetic gift on. But she wrote this book about how these UPC codes were going to come into grocery stores. Well, we'd never seen a UPC code. We didn't know what they were. And she said, this is the beginning of the New World Order. And this is going to open up the computers and everything else. And I don't think she even knew how far this thing was going to go. But we were convinced then, when UPC codes came into stores, oh, this is the end. This is Big Brother. This is everything. Well, it wasn't the end. But he said here, he says, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, all right, now the Lord is going to say to the reapers, gather first, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, this goes absolutely contrary to the pre-trib rapture doctrine. Are you hearing me? Absolute contrary. Because the pre-trib rapture doctrine says that the wheat, the righteous, are going to be gathered out first. But that is not what God said. This is Jesus Christ talking. He said, no, I'm going to have the reapers gather out the tares. Now, I don't know what this gathering process is going to be. I suspect the 3.5-year Great Tribulation is going to be the system the process of gathering tares out. Because what is going to happen then? Let me take you now to, and we are now getting to the verse I wanted. We are now getting to verse 43. Let's go back to verse 42 because he's explaining this again. He's saying that, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We read that last week, but we're going to go on from there now, okay? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when the Lord says something like that, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let me ask you, do you have ears to hear? Brian, do you have ears to hear?
I hear
you. Yeah. But this is what the Lord is meaning. You hear my voice. What he's saying here is, do you have spiritual ears to hear? Are you able to discern what I'm saying in a higher level than just on the natural sound of the words? In other words, if you just hear the natural voice, you're thinking, oh, field, tares, wheat, run the combine over there. Combine will separate them all out. No, that's not what it's about. He's talking about a spiritual purging. He's talking about a spiritual cleaning of the swamp. Is that the term we can use, Larry? The cleaning of the swamp. Okay? Now, this is a promise, by the way, for the righteous. He's saying here that the kingdom gather all things that offend, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the righteous are going to inherit the earth. Now let me go down in contrast. Let me take the contrast, the other side of this, down to verse 49. And he's saying again, this is the parable of the net, the dragnet that was cast out. And they bring it back, and the net is full. They draw it to shore, and they sit down, and they go through a process of separation. They gather the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the that's the word world, but it means the end of the age. We went through that yet last week. So shall it be. So if we see this separating process taking place, if you think you're going to be sitting on a beach with a net, you know, throwing fish this way or that way, that's not really what this means. It must be the wind. Hey, Brother Randy. So, we go back down here now. So shall it be at the end of the world, or the age, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And he shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, this is not a pleasant experience. This is not a pleasant time that he's talking about, wailing and gnashing of teeth. But the promise is, we're looking at the promise side here. The promise is that the righteous will inherit the earth. Now let me go to the book of Daniel, and we'll start in Daniel. Daniel, yes, in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, after Ezekiel and before Hosea. Here we are, Daniel. I want to go to chapter 12, the last chapter in Daniel. It's kind of a summary of everything that Daniel is saying, but we are going to go back to chapter 7 as well. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Why don't we lead into that by starting in the first verse here? He says, "And that time," at that time, we're talking about the time of the end, okay? "Shall Michael stand up?" Michael is the archangel. What does the name Michael mean?
He who is like the Lord.
Like the Lord, right. Like God. Mike, L. L. The E-L is the Hebrew word referring to God. Okay? At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. Now, here's that reference to the book again. You know the first, by the way, do you know the first reference that was ever made to the book in the Bible? The first man? Adam never talked about the book. Noah didn't talk about the book. It was Moses. It was Moses. When the children of Israel went into sin and God said, "I'm going to wipe them all out," he said, "No, no, no, no." He said, "Take my name out of the book. Blot my name out, but put them in." So Moses was actually ready to lay his life down, not just his life, but eternally. However, he wasn't qualified because he wasn't the spotless Lamb of God. But nevertheless, his heart was that he would have done it. And he somehow he knew that God had a book. All right. So then he says, "And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth and shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That tracks perfectly with the book of Revelation, those last couple of chapters there in Revelation. All right. Then he says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And then he gives a prophecy that talks right about our day today in which we are living. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Boy, don't we run to and fro today? Who would have ever thought? You know, when I was a child, to ever have thought that I would ever travel in an airplane to a foreign country. Just running to and fro? I mean, the biggest, my world extended about 30 miles from home. I mean, that was the big city. And that was as far as we ever went. And he said, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, there's almost nothing that you could want to know that you can't get an answer of some sort to by going to the internet, going to your search engine, and just type in a question. Now, they may not all be true answers, but you can get answers. You can get knowledge. You can get everything that you want. This is a prophecy now. Let's go back to Daniel, though, so we'd stay... Yeah.
Maybe you want to read verse 10, though.
Okay, yeah, let's go down to verse 10. Thank you, Larry. Many shall be purified and made white. Made white. And tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. It is a great verse, yeah. Wicked are not going to understand. Unrighteous, you're not going to understand. In other words, they don't have eyes to see. They can't see. They don't have ears to hear. This is why Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He who hath eyes to see, let him see. He's talking about a deeper level, a higher level, if you please. Something beyond the natural carnal level. Now let me go over to Daniel.
What it says about the righteous.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Purified and made white and tried.
Tried.
So.
And the word tried means what?
Refined.
So to be refined, you have to go through the furnace.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Brother Trump is talking about in Pennsylvania here? Stirring up these old steel mills? That's what they are. Is that they're for refining steel. Metals, they get refined in the fire, and oh, that fire is awful hot. Oh, they are very hot. All right, back to chapter 7 in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Now, this is the vision that Daniel saw of the four beasts. The beast systems that were going to rule the earth. It was sort of a follow-up of the dream that the king had. But now I want to go to verse 13 here. He says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. What is this picture of here? He says here that one like the Son of Man, in other words, he looked like a man. That would have been who?
The Lord Jesus.
Jesus. He says, and he came with the clouds of heaven. What are the clouds of heaven, by the way? It's the clouds of the righteous. He's coming with clouds. And I believe it's the book of Hebrews that tells us very clearly that the clouds are the righteous ones. Okay? So he's coming with clouds. Amen? Of heaven. That's spiritual beings. Amen? and came to the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? Yes, it's the Father God, Creator God. Amen. And they brought him near before him.
Amen.
So it seems that they are one, and yet there's a different person here. I mean, I only worship one God, brethren. But there's another person here of the Godhead. And let's see. And there was given him dominion. There was given him who? Who's the him?
Jesus.
The Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Man, Jesus, the Son of Man. He is the representative of mankind. Amen. The representative of human beings being brought before the powerful, awesome, almost terrifying throne of God. Amen. And there was given him dominion and glory. By the way, who first was given dominion? Who's the first man that was given dominion? It was Adam. He was given dominion over everything. What did he do with it?
Blew it.
In other words, if you obey, if you're given dominion and somebody else comes and gives you an order or a command and you obey that command, who have you given the dominion to? The guy that you obeyed. So he gave the dominion to the serpent. Well, Eve did too, but he went along with it. Gave dominion to the devil. All right, so now there's given him, Jesus Christ, dominion and glory and a kingdom. Adam could have had it. This is why Jesus is called the second Adam. Adam is the first Adam. Okay? Jesus is the second Adam. He's going to make it right now. All right? And a kingdom that all people and nations, that's peoples, plural, and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So you know that this earth remaineth forever. Not only does the natural earth remaineth forever, but the spiritual kingdom of God, once it is established, also remaineth forever. There's not going to be another rebellion. There's not going to be another Satan. Once it's totally finished, totally secured, and that'll take 1,000 years after the first coming of Christ here. But it is going to be settled, all right? Now, let me go down here a little bit. Verse 18 now. He wanted to know about these beasts. And he says, these great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. So four, I was going to say seasons, that's not the right word. Four eras, shall we say, of kingdom in the history of the world, okay? But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Take the kingdom, I believe that's equal to receive the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever, and ever. Now, can we agree that this term forever, even forever, and ever, that this means without end? That this means eternal? Does anybody have any doubts about this word, this term? Do you know that there are people that are casting doubt upon eternal life and eternal punishment? You know who they are. They say, well, because you got sent to hell, see, they make a purgatory. that they agree with the Catholic Church on purgatory. They say, well, okay, just because you died in sin doesn't mean you're going to be in hell forever and ever. You know what? It's the same word. It's the same word. Amen? Forever and ever. And in the New Testament, it's the word aeon, which means age. And so they say, oh, well, it's an age. Well, come on. Even if it were a thing that would come to an end, I wouldn't want to be in hell for 1,000 years. I wouldn't want to be there for 1 minute. Not 1 minute. Not 10 minutes.
If there's no eternal life, what purpose is
so if that's right. It's the same word that describes eternal life. It's the same word that describes the eternal kingdom. If you're going to say your thing is going to come to an end after so many years, then you're going to also have to say that the kingdom of God has to come to an end. We're going to start over again after a gazillion whatever eons or Paleozoic era or whatever these evolutionists want to come up with their terms. All right. So, but the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom. All right. So, the saints are going to possess the kingdom. The saints are going to have dominion in the kingdom. All right. Now, let me go over to verse 22. Verse 21, I mean. And now he's talking about this little horn that came up on this one beast. He says, and I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So there's coming a time when wickedness is going to have a certain dominion. It's going to prevail for a certain period of time. I believe we're living in that time. Wickedness has its seat in everything that I know. It has its seat in education. It has its seat in government. It has its seat in the world of finance. It has its seat in society, the way society thinks and behaves. It has its dominion. It has prevailed for a period of time. Amen? We don't seem to be able to do much about it. It says, until the Ancient of Days came. Who's the Ancient of Days again? God Almighty. He's going to show up. But you see, he's one with Christ. He came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Justice is given. Now notice he's giving it to the saints. Plural word. Saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. This is prophecy now. Amen? Now, let's go down a little bit further. Because I want to show you the whole thing here. Verse 26, we're talking about the 10 horns, 10 kings and all that. This little horn again. Now let me go back to the little horn. It says, he shall speak great words against the Most High. That doesn't mean great. It means terrible words. Amen. Big, exalted, prideful words against God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Do you think that there's a conspiracy to wear us out?
Yes.
Oh yes. Just everything happening against you, all these troubles that have come against you, Linda. It's a wearing out process. Satan's all this sickness, everything happening in your home. You know, it's an attempt to wear you down, and Satan knows he can't take away your eternal life. He's not going to get that. But if he can slow you down and wear you down and keep you occupied trying to fix everything that's going wrong in your life, then you are not going to be able to spread the message of the kingdom. You're not going to have any life left in you. He'll keep you sick. He'll keep your fever going. He'll keep your infection going. He'll keep this. He'll just another distraction. He'll keep your car breaking down whatever. Keep your plumbing going bad. Whatever it is he can do, he'll just keep wearing you down. And of course, that'll use up your money, too. He'll rob you of that. Amen?
He's after your peace.
He's after, yeah. Yeah. Wear you down, wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times. There's your last 3.5 years again of tribulation that's coming on us very soon. Amen? But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and to destroy unto the end. Amen? Now, this word judgment here in verse 26, I love this. This is the court. The court is in session. Do you get a picture of this? The judge is sitting at the bench. Amen? The culprits are sitting here at their table, and the prosecutor is bringing up, we're the prosecutor here, amen, and we're bringing our charge against the enemy. So he says the court is set, the court is in session, amen. And he says here, and the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the heritage, brethren, of the saints of the Most High. I like this. The court is in session. The judge is sitting there. Amen. And the charges have been laid. Amen. I believe Jesus is the attorney for the righteous. He's laying it out. Amen. And the decision is made. I don't know, maybe we're the jury too. And we're saying, guilty, Your Honor. We are in 100% unanimous agreement. And he brings, where's that little gavel? I got a gavel. And he brings the gavel down and says, guilty. Amen. And I sentence you to forever in the lake of fire. Amen. All right, let's go over to Isaiah. We got a few choice verses in Isaiah, too. Isaiah, we got to go backward. I'm sorry, folks. Isaiah chapter 20. I didn't mean 20. I mean 60. Chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, this is I tell you, every one of these chapters in Isaiah are great chapters. They're all my favorites. Especially those first few verses of chapter 60. Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. This is heritage of the saints, brethren. But what I wanted to look at here was verse 12. He says, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, these nations shall be utterly wasted. Let's go down to verse 21 as well in this chapter. And he says, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 65. Just one more page over. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Amen. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Now that doesn't mean this earth is going to get blown up into smithereens and become vapor or anything like that. That means new heavens mean a new spiritual atmosphere. All right, new earth, yes, a new natural atmosphere where righteousness prevails. Okay. And the former thing shall not be remembered nor come to mind. What does that say to you? The former thing shall not be remembered nor come to mind.
Any wickedness?
Yeah, your past can be wiped out. The hardship, the terrors that you went through because of some terrible decisions that you made that were bad. And you planted some things and you got a nasty crop out of it. It didn't turn out too good. When God does the restoration, this thing won't even come to your mind. You won't even think about it anymore.
No more regrets.
No more regrets. Amen. And you know, I was thinking, if Brother Trump is really, truly a born-again believer, these charges now, see, this is what these journalists love to do. They love to go digging into somebody's past. And they want to try to use it against you. See, what a wicked person. I tell you, if anybody were to dig into these journalists' past, they wouldn't like it at all. So they're bringing up some charge against the man again that happened way long before he ever had any ambitions. And, you know, brethren, do you think that everything in your natural past would be shiny and bright? No, I don't think so. There is none righteous. No, not one. But our answer is that it is under the blood. And the Lord has cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Is that the term that He uses? And He will... it will be as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is. I don't know how big the universe is. It's gone. It's disappeared. God doesn't see it anymore. But you see, the Satan sees these things and he brings them up against us. So God is saying here, here's our promise. Put this in your soul. He says, I will create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things... The former, I added the word things here, the former, which means your past, shall not be remembered nor come into mind. If it doesn't come into God's mind, why should it be in my mind? All right? We have to add more verses here. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Now, when Isaiah wrote this, there already was a Jerusalem, wasn't there? Hello, come on, help me out here. Isaiah is writing this long after King David. There already was a Jerusalem. God is saying, I create Jerusalem. He's making a new Jerusalem, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen? And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. I don't know that God necessarily finds much to rejoice in natural Jerusalem right about now. Oh, be careful, Brother Mark. Yes, I'm talking about the natural thing is not perfect.
Okay, I don't want to get involved with this because we have a focus in here, which is true. And God will not forget that Jerusalem also.
Right.
I'm not into that.
Yeah. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. See here, this is the people of God. This is Mount Zion. Okay? And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Now, we're talking about this holy city again here, aren't we? The city of God, the people of God. We, individual houses, temples, tabernacles. A bunch of individual tabernacles make up a city, don't we? If we can get 7,000 of these together, doesn't it make up a city? Yeah, it's a city. And he's saying in this city, among these people, he's going to bring this to an end. No more weeping, no more crying. Amen. And there shall be no more thence, an infant of days. In other words, Babies dying when they're young. It's not going to happen, he says. Oh my goodness, I'm reading the history of the foundation of America in this book of O'Reilly. Babies dying all the time. It was just horrible what was happening. Who's the guy that wrote the Declaration?
Jefferson.
Jefferson. I mean, something happened. His wife pregnant, baby born, baby died. Baby born, baby died. And it wasn't just there. It was others as well. Babies were dying of smallpox. This and that. Everything. I mean, another baby born, one of the king's kids, I guess, got the measles, died of the measles at the age of 6 or 7 or something like that.
Babies are dying now. They aren't even coming out of the womb.
Yeah, and now they're killing them. But he says, this is not going to happen anymore. No more an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. I don't know. I'm not old yet. I'm getting there. I don't feel like I've filled my days yet. But you see, people dying, suddenly they get sick when they're 60 years old, 62, something like that. Heart attack, lungs fill up, some horrible cancer, something like that. They haven't filled their days. He said it isn't going to happen. Amen? For the child shall die 100 years old. So a child, he's only 100 years old. He shouldn't have died. Maybe he wasn't righteous. That's why he died. See? A child died 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. See, that's, if the sinner dies at 100, it's because he was cursed. He says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. What happens today? Oh, the bank comes and takes it away. You overextended your credit. The taxes are too high. They're going to come and take it away. The city wants it because you can't pay your taxes. Whatever. He says, this isn't going to happen. If you build that house, if you plant that vineyard, he said, you're going to be the one to eat the fruit of it. In other words, the fruit of all you do, you're going to have the joy of reaping the crop of your whole life. Amen. What you build spiritually as well, you're going to enjoy the fruit of that building. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Let's see. Let me go a little further. And they shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. See, God is making reference to us as if we were trees. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Amen? Trees are more durable than grass, aren't they? Amen? Trees last for many, many years. A man came out in front of my house a couple years ago and he cut a great big old maple tree down. And I said to him, how old was that tree? He says, oh, I figure about 75 years old. But there's trees that last longer than that. There's these big trees out in California that live to be, well, over some of them a couple thousand years old. In fact, they find that, how old is this old bristlecone pine that's up in the mountains somewhere? It's something like 4,000 years old, isn't it? So that old tree probably was one of the first ones that grew after Noah's flood. That old guy is still standing there. I mean, the wind blowing at that thing and bristle comb, you know. There he is. He's been rooted there. He's just going to grow forever. So the Lord says, we shall be like a tree. And he says, as the days of my people are, mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Yeah, I like that. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. I think that's talking about your children, too. How many of you know that you women, you mothers, you you've brought forth and it's been trouble. Says it's not going to happen. You're not going to bring forth for trouble. Your children are going to obey the Lord. Your grandchildren, they're going to be righteous. Amen? For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now we cry to the Lord, oh God, please, please, I've been asking you for weeks about this. Lord, this is years I've been asking. And, you know, we have to really press the Lord, press the Lord, press the Lord. And we really have to press in to get an answer. He says it's not going to be like that. He said, while you're even thinking about it, before your mouth even opens, I'm going to be ready to answer. All you have to do is say, oh Lord, and there's the answer. Amen? And the wolf and lamb shall feed together. What does the wolf speak of? Destroyer. Amen? What is the lion? Same thing. You know what? They're going to have to get a different appetite. They can't be eating lambs anymore. He says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. I think that's in the natural too. The wolf is going to have to change. Amen? The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Do you know that bears, grizzly bears, do you know that they eat grass? I bet you didn't. You knew that, John. They eat grass. They made this movie where they followed the birth of these two little cubs of this grizzly bear up in Alaska somewhere. Followed it. And these bears come out of their den in the spring, and there's no salmon. What do? They get out in the field like cows, and they start eating grass. Because they have to have something. And they can't hibernate, really, until they can get all that salmon and get really fattened up from it. But yeah, this is possible. They can change their diet. Amen? It says the lion. Amen? And dust shall be the serpent's meat. Hallelujah. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Can I give you another witness? I got to give you the witness of Zechariah.
It's not only a different appetite, it's a different nature.
It's a different nature, right. Well, I mean, the nature is their appetite, yeah. It's what they're not going to want to eat that stuff anymore. Hey, you know what? We're going to have to get a different appetite too, aren't we? Have you noticed your appetite has been changing over the years?
Yeah.
The things that you used to like? I don't mean your food appetite. I mean what used to turn you on, what used to interest you, and the things you used to want to do. It's been changing. Amen. Zechariah chapter 14. Here's some more good prophecy. I'm just talking about the good prophecy here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if this thing's recording or not. I hope it is. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in all the nations which came against Jerusalem, am I on the right one here? Yeah. Shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up at all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt, isn't it interesting that he chooses Egypt here? And if the family of Egypt go not up, amen? Hallelujah. And if the family of Egypt go not up, where am I? Oh. And have no rain, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep
the Feast of Tabernacles. Praise the Lord. Lastly, Psalm 37. Psalm, go back to Psalm. Psalm 37, 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Have you noticed that some of your debts don't get paid? The people that owe you money? The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. He's not just borrowing, he's giving. Amen? Next verse. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So there's a curse as well. The last verse, verse 29, and finish with this. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And that means forever. Praise the Lord.